Good morning, everybody. It's a real pleasure for me to be here and to experience one of the other communities. So I bring you greetings from Seekers and enjoy looking around to see so many familiar faces. I pray now that the words that I offer you will be from an open heart, guided by the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So this is the third Sunday of Advent, the time of waiting, waiting for new birth. And I have a hunch that all of you are waiting anxiously for the Potter's House to open up again. To welcome you all back to a familiar worshiping space. I know that's been something that has tested you all, and part of my message this morning is going to be a little bit of our story at Seekers of waiting for a home where we are. But I want to start with our scripture and pay attention to, I think there are three phases of this scripture lesson. Let me just read the first and listen for the purpose that John the Baptist had. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Church of the Savior has a long history of testifying to the light, of not pretending that we are the saviors, but of having various missions that testify to the power of God. And I would say that first mission was the Potter's House, 1960. However, that mission did not spring out of nowhere. Recently, I had occasion to go back and look at the book by Verna Dozier called The Dream of God. Verna was part of Church of the Savior from 1950 to 1955, because in those days, you may not know this, but the theory was that people would come, participate in Church of the Savior, and then go back to other institutions to change them. The School of Christian Living was really the first missionary school. And that was the intention of inviting people. And in those days, the invitations purposely went to people of color, as well as those who were drawn from various and sundry places like I was. I read about Church of the Savior from afar long before we ever got here. And so that bearing witness came with some preparation, and the preparation came through the School of Christian Living. And then people were to go back to their institutions. And the institution that got started here, close by, was the Potter's House. You all know that story. I don't need to repeat that. But in this time of racial conflict, I do want to hold up the fact that in 1968, when there were riots in this area and up and down 14th Street and 13th and 16th, and in this neighborhood, that Potter's House chose to stay. They put their feet down in this neighborhood and said, no, we're not going to flee. And that staked out a place here in this neighborhood that spun off a number of different missions. So the Potter's House became a seedbed for other missions. The purpose for Church of the Savior was to bear witness to a different kind of reality through organizational models that many of us have participated in. What were they bearing witness to? I want to share with you the Isaiah scripture for today, because it really is the vision that I think John the Baptist was holding up. There's a reason why they said, Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you John? Are you Isaiah? No. Are you the Messiah? No. I am one crying in the wilderness. So here's the vision that I think people were questioning John about. This is the reading from Isaiah, appointed for today, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion and give them a garland instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. That's the vision of the world that we want, the world that we hold close to our hearts. It's the vision that I think the missions of Church of the Savior were designed to point toward. They weren't going to solve all of our society's problems, but each one of those missions that formed largely in this neighborhood were formed to be models, signs, testimonies to the light of Christ. The purpose for our missions was not necessarily to change our whole country. And I think often we need to remember that if we can stay true to that call that John the Baptist had to bear witness to the light, it will sustain us in these hard times. And I think right now we're feeling that tension across our nation. The vigils, the walks, the demonstrations are really a sign that something new is breaking in. It's appropriate that this is happening during Advent, during the darkness of the year, because something new is happening. I want to go back a little bit to the story of Church of the Savior, and that is, not only did Potter's House choose to stay in this neighborhood, but that was the year that Flock was formed. And I see Fred Taylor sitting right here. Flock formed out of the demonstrations in Selma to come back here and do something here in Washington, D.C. about what was happening for children. Flock was the first of many missions. And then in 1976, Church of the Savior got too big at 120 commitment members. Whenever I say that in other churches, people just, their jaws just drop. 120 was too big? Oh, come on. Now, there were many more people coming to worship. But I want to say a word, a positive word, about the path toward committed membership. Because I think the key to sustaining missions has been that path toward membership, and it had to do with the School of Christian Living. When Church of the Savior moved into six little churches, including Eighth Day and Seekers, the School of Christian Living stayed at 2025 as an ecumenical school. And it remained that way for about 4 or 5 years. And then in about 82, I'm a little hazy about that date because nobody writes about these things, but I think the Tuesday night school became the Seekers school. And the Thursday night school continued to serve the other churches. I do not know what happened to the Thursday night School of Christian Living as the festival center became a presence here. But I want to suggest that the School of Christian Living is a key part of sustaining mission, and that today, as I think about this community moving toward the Potter's House, I am aware of a dream that I want to just name for you all, and I hope you'll hold it like a potential birth. And that is that Eighth Day could offer a School of Christian Living for the Columbia Road churches in your new place at the Potter's House. Because a path that would involve getting to know the biblical story, getting to know something about the inward and outward journey, and then identifying your call is not something that has been at the core of the Servant Leadership School. That is really aimed at a wider audience, a more educated audience. And I think part of what we've learned in our School of Christian Living at Seekers is that classes can be adjusted to incorporate people who don't have some of the academic background that maybe the School of Christian Living had at one time. And what we've noticed now that we live in a facility that opens onto the street is our congregation is getting much more diverse as people walk in off the street. And our classes have changed radically, but we haven't stopped having them. And it has been a path for people to move into committed core membership. Now, I'm going to go back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was bearing witness to the light, but we don't know anything about how he trained his followers. What we do know is that at some time during Jesus' early ministry, the followers of John the Baptist came to Jesus and said, "Are you the Messiah? Tell us, are you the one we've been waiting for?" Because Jesus wasn't behaving the way John the Baptist thought they ought to behave. He was a Nazarite. He was very narrow in his understanding of what a holy life was about. Jesus was apparently eating and drinking with all kinds of folks. He was doing that in such a radical way that even the followers of John were questioning, "Are you the one we're waiting for?" And I think today it would be a mark of faithfulness if we could look at each other and say, "Are you really bearing witness to the light?" And if we visit each other and listen to each other and know each other, I think we will recognize that followers of Jesus do things in lots of different ways. But we still need to be training and discipling and equipping people for the deeper challenges of ministry. None of the ministries of Church of the Savior would be sustained without a deeply committed, faithful core that is not afraid to walk in the face of opposition. We all know that the civil rights movement rested on the backs of people who'd had serious training in nonviolence. You don't do that without some training, without some background. And I think we're at another turning point in our society where there's a need for a dedicated, disciplined core of people. And I really think that a School of Christian Living that you all could sponsor here on Columbia Road could be that open door to a deeper discipleship. The Pharisees said to John, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm not the Messiah." "Well, then are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." "Well, then are you the prophet?" "No, I am not the prophet." "Well, what do you have to say for yourself?" they said. And he said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." I believe that we are all called to bear witness to the light, to the healing presence, to the vision of the beloved community that Isaiah held up and that John preached and that we hold in our hearts today. Amen.
Amen.